we're just making closing remarks on Halacha Dalet in Likutei Halachos Hilchos Shabbos. We were saying that usually the derech of Hashem is that a person makes a certain move and then Hashem responds. But we're told that when it came to Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Jews were at such a low level at the time, in such a bad place, that if Hashem would have waited for us to make a move, it would have been all over, would have been too late. So that Hashem broke the rules in a sense, and Hashem revealed a level of light on the night of Pesach that we weren't really deserving of at all. And that's why the meal at the Seder, that's why the Avodah of the night of Pesach is called a Seder. We make a Seder to show that we realize that at one point in our history we were in such a bad place that Hashem had to act Shaloka Seder in order to save us, in order to rescue us. And we show that we recognize that, and we're looking to correct that by showing that we have the ability to follow a Seder, you know, to follow a pattern, to know what's step one, step two, until we get to the end. The end of the Seder is called Nirtza. Nirtza, again, is that term Rotzoin, which we discussed in the previous chapter. He'oras HaRotzoin, which is referred to as that highest light, that the crown of Hashem, or the Oyer HaTzachzachos, the highest level that a Jew can attain, which is Nirtza. Baruch Hashem. We're continuing in Likutei Halachos, Or HaChaim, Chelek Gimel, Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Hei. Al pi haTorah, Bereishis, Leinei Kol Yisrael, Belikutei Tanina, Simen Samach Zayin, Ayin Shom Kol haTorah, Meroisha L'Seifa. This chapter of Likutei Halachos is based on chapter 67 in the second half of Likutei Moran. And as usual, Rav Nosson Zal says, read the chapter over well so that you'll have a good introduction. But in his opening paragraph, he gives us a brief summary of the chapter. Interestingly, this chapter of Likutei Moran was said as a eulogy, sort of, for Reb Levi Yitzchok Berditchev Zal, whom the people in the city of Breslov, at the time that Rabbi Nachman gave this shir, nobody knew that Reb Levi Yitzchok had passed away. The information first reached Breslov, you know, like Wednesday of that week, whereas on Shabbos, Rabbi Nachman had given this shir. And Rabbi Nachman, when he was reviewing the shiur with Rav Nosson Zal, Rabbi Nachman, like tears were streaming down his eyes. And Rav Nosson Zal didn't understand why or what. And a day or two later, when the news reached Breslov that Rabbi Levi Yitzchok had passed away, they all understood why Rabbi Nachman was so affected by this shiur. Because in this shiur, one of the topics he addresses is a eulogy for a tzaddik, a leader of the world, you know, that passes away. Interesting that there is a secret story in one of the Sforim, the Sefer Yemei HaTlois, which is a Breslov Sefer that's generally not publicized, it's not put on the market, where it says some inner stories about the inner workings of Breslov. There, one of the items that's mentioned is that every year in heaven, they ask for volunteers who's willing to be a korban on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Just like in the Beis Hamikdash here, they were korbanos. There's a Gemara at the end of Menachos where the Gemara says that the angel Michoel sacrifices the neshamos of tzaddikim on the mizbeach in heaven. This is obviously a very deep concept. And it's brought there that Rabbi Nachman volunteered to be the korban for that year, to pass away. Shortly after he volunteered, he regretted, and he wanted to cancel out, and such a thing can't be done unless there's a replacement volunteer. And Rabbi Levi Yitzchok Berditchev volunteered to be the replacement. And therefore, he passed away a year before Rabbi Nachman. And Rabbi Nachman passed away the following year, shortly after Rosh Hashanah, Chol HaMoed Sukkos. And in the commentaries on this chapter in Likutei Moran, Samach Zayin, those that have the Likutei Moran that has the Parparois L'Chochma in the back, there's very touching, heart-rending, you know, information related to this chapter. I'm just letting you know, in Likutei Halachos, there's about 6 or 7 chapters of Likutei Halachos, at least, that are based on this chapter in Likutei Moran. It's something very exceptional. And this is going to be one of the examples that we're starting right now. Rav Nosson Zal begins quoting from the chapter in Likutei Moran, V'zeh b'chinas Shabbos, that the things that are discussed over there are related to Shabbos. Ki Shabbos shmo d'kodesh b'ruach hu, kemavur b'Torah zos, because Shabbos is a name of Hashem, as is mentioned in that chapter in Likutei Moran. Now this is a very interesting point. It's brought in halacha that a Jew is not supposed to say good Shabbos in the mikveh, let's say, for example, because of the fact that Shabbos is a very holy word. And in fact, the Zohar HaKadosh uses the term, this is a quote from the Zohar HaKadosh, that Shabbos is the name of Hashem. There is a famous Hasidish Sefer called B'nai Yisachar, which was written by one of the Hasidish Gedolim before Rabbi Nachman's time. It's one of the most famous, one of the most outstanding of all the Hasidish Sforim. And it's based on all the holidays of the year. He takes each one of the holidays and gives fantastic chidushim about them. The first and possibly largest section of the Sefer deals with Shabbos. And on this quote from the Zohar HaKadosh, that Shabbos is the name of Hashem, he has about 20-30 pages, you know, explaining it, expounding on it. I remember my father-in-law and my rabbi, Rabbi Rosenfeld Zichron Avrucha, once said that the Zohar HaKadosh says that Shabbos is the name of Hashem, which is complete from all sides. That's the wording there. De'ihu shlim mikol sitrin. And he said that the B'nai Yisachar explains what this refers to is, we know that the Hebrew Aleph Beis consists of 22 letters. They're called Chof Beis Asvon Doiraisa, the 22 letters of the Torah, from Aleph through Tav. There are five additional letters, which come at, whereby five letters of the Aleph Beis, when they appear at the end of the word, they're written differently. Those are called Menatzpach. Mem, Nun, Tzadik, Pei, and Chof, they have two versions. When they appear in the middle of a word, they're written one way. When they appear at the end of a word, they're written differently. So it's brought, the Sifrei Kabbalah explain that these two sets, the 22 letters and the five letters, represent Zohar and Nekeva. As in all discussions of Kabbalah, as in all discussions of the Zohar HaKadosh, the writings of the Arizal, everything in existence has to be either male or female, whether it's in physical form or in spiritual form, so that the Hebrew alphabet has its male section and female section. The 22 letters are referred to as Zohar. These five end letters are referred to as Nekeva, which means that there's a total of 27 letters that make up the Aleph Beis. If you take Hashem's name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, which has a gematria of 26, and multiply it by 27, meaning Hashem's name multiplied by all the letters of the Aleph Beis, the male and female, it's bigematria Shabbos, exactly. And that's one of the interpretations of what the Zohar HaKadosh means when it says that Shabbos is the name of Hashem, which is complete from all sides. Meaning it's the name of Hashem that's koilel, Zohar and Nekeva. U'bishvil zeh asurin kol hamalochos b'Shabbos. And it's for this reason that all types of work are forbidden on Shabbos. Sheheim lametes malochos, which are the 39 types of work. Ubishvil ze yotzo havoro uport upirtoiso hatoyre beprotius, kemoishikosuv loisivaru eish bechol moish voisechem, beyom haShabbos. And it's for this reason that the Gemara throughout Shas mentions many times that the Torah discusses all the types of, all the acts of work that are forbidden on Shabbos, and it's in one place in the beginning of Ayakel, it says, all work should not be done on Shabbos. And then right after saying, don't do any work on Shabbos, it says, don't light a fire on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, why is this item stated separately over here? Why after just saying, don't do all the different types of work that are forbidden on Shabbos, and it puts them all in once, you know, it just says don't do work on Shabbos. Why does it say Havara separately? And there's a whole drush in Ugkumay Shom Razal, as the Gemara says, Havara bichlal hoisa. Havara was included in the category of work. Veloma yotza. Why did the Torah go ahead and list it separately? Elo lechalek yotzasa. There's a debate in the Gemara whether it's lelav yotzas or lechalek yotzas. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, velechayra kosha. Loma yotzasa havara daiko lechalek bein alamates malachas. One of the reasons that the Gemara offers as to why Havara is listed separately is to teach us that you should know that if a person, that when the Torah says don't do work on Shabbos, I might have thought that that means if a person does five different types of work, he still is only in violation, he gets one violation of having done work on Shabbos. So therefore the Torah took an example of one of the malachas and listed it separately to let you know that each one is an entity unto itself, and therefore each one is considered an independent violation. So Rav Nosson Zal asks, if that's all it's coming to teach us, why was this specific one chosen to be the one? It could have picked planting, it could have picked anything. Why didn't the Torah pick a different example? However, based on what's written in Likutei Moran and based on what we're going to say now, you'll understand it very well. Because all 39 acts of work on Shabbos are included under the title fire, as is explained in that chapter in Likutei Moran, Sheshmiras Shabbos, Shehi Shem Hashem, Hu Bechinas Mo'irei Oyer. Rabbi Nachman explains in that chapter in Likutei Moran, he quotes from the Zohar HaKodesh, that there are two groupings. There's Oyer, light, which is a concept of kindness. On the first day of creation, on Yom Rishon, there are 7 days of creation, corresponding to the seven Midos of Hashem, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, etc. On the first day of creation, Hashem created Oyer, Yehi Oyer. So that Oyer is a concept of Chesed. Eish, on the other hand, fire, is a concept of Midas Hadin, Gvura. The Zohar HaKadosh says that if you take Hashem's name Elokim, which is Mishpat, judgment, we know that a judge in the Chumash, in Parshas Mishpatim, is called Elokim. If you take Hashem's name Elokim and write it in its Milui, where each letter is written as a word, Aleph is spelled Aleph Lamed Pei, which means it has a numerical value of 111. Lamed is spelled Lamed Mem Dalid, which means it's 30 and 40 and 4, it's 74. And so on and so forth, you'll find that Hashem's name Elokim Bemilui, the gematria is 300, which is Begematria Eish, with the kolel. So that Eish is Midas Hadin, Oyer is Midas HaChesed. And the Zohar HaKadosh over there coins the term that there are Ma'oirei Oyer and there are Ma'oirei Eish. There's a light, which is a flow of kindness from Hashem, and there's a fire, which is a symbol of destruction. The Beis HaMikdosh was called the center of Ma'oirei Oyer, the light of the Jewish people. There's a pasuk that says, Ge'oin uzchem machmad einechem. It's the choicest item of your eyes, is the Beis HaMikdosh. So that the Beis HaMikdosh is the symbol of light. And when Hashem wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdosh, He destroyed it the light was replaced by fire. This is the underlying theme in that chapter in Likutei Moran. And this is what Rav Nosson Zal is quoting here, that therefore, Shabbos, Shmira Shabbos, is a concept of light. Just as we know that we bring the Shabbos in by the woman of the house lighting candles. And the bracha is Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbat. Ner is a concept of Oyer, light. The Shabbos leaves us by lighting fire. The bracha there is not Moirei Oyer. We make the bracha Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Melechem, Boirei Moirei Ho'esh. We introduce the 6 days of the week with fire. And in fact, light was a creation of Hashem. Fire was sort of a man-made creation. The Gemara says in Psochim that Adam HaRishon rubbed, you know, invented fire. On Saturday night, he rubbed together stones or sticks, and that's how fire was first generated, the first fire of creation. So that again, light symbolizes the spiritual world, the creation of Hashem. Fire, compared to light, symbolizes the physical world. The Yemei HaChol. Light is Shabbos, fire is Yemei HaChol. Light is Olam Haba, Eish is Olam Hazeh in comparison. Light is, exactly. So now Rav Nosson Zal says, Sheshmiras Shabbos Shi B'chin Hashem Hashem Hu B'chin Has Moirei Or. The keeping of Shabbos, which is referred to as the holy, the name of Hashem, is a concept of light. Ulehepech lametes malocha is shem chilul Shabbos hu bechinas moirei esh. Whereas the 39 acts of work, which represent the consecration of Shabbos, they are referred to as the category of moirei esh. Shehu hepech shem Hashem, which is the opposite of the holy name of Hashem. Kimavur Hashem, as is explained over there in Likutei Moran, Ayin Shem. Look over there and you'll see elaboration on this. V'alkein perto ha-toira meleches havora seish daiko, and this is why the Torah chose this malocha of lighting a fire on Shabbos to list it separately b'shvil lechalek bein halametes malochos, in order to teach us that each and every single one of the 39 acts of work is an independent item, and if a person does two of them, he's making two separate violations. Ki be'emes, kol isur malocha b'shabes, shel kol atamas lametes malochas, ikur ho isur hu, shelo lahagber b'chinas moirei esh, shehim b'chinas chilol Shabbos, shehu shem Hashem, b'chinas moirei or. Because Rav Nosson Zal says now, on a spiritual level, every single one of the 39 acts of work is a concept of lighting a fire. If a Jew plants on Shabbos, he's activating the moirei esh. You follow? All the acts of Malacha are under this subtitle, this title called Moirei Esh. So that's why that's the one that was singled out as the example to teach us that every one of the 39 is an independent entity. Ki kol Yisrael Lametes Malachas Im Bechinas Moirei Esh, Shubchinas Lo Yisavaru Esh V'Kanal. Ein Shom, Ashekosov Shom Rabbeinu Zal, Al Posuk Ze, Lo Yisavaru Esh, B'chol Moish V'Yisechem, B'yom HaShabbos. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, look further in that chapter in Likutei Moran, where Rabbi Nachman explains this Posuk, Lo Yisavaru Esh, B'chol Moish V'Yisechem, B'yom HaShabbos. Do not light a fire through in all your residences on Shabbos. Shehu Roshei Tevois, Mis Abel. Rabbi Nachman explains there that the first letters of this pasuk spell the word misabel, to mourn. Ki kol hamisabel al Yerushalayim zoiche veroye b'simchosa. Because the Gemara says that any Jew who is zoiche to mourn the destruction of Yerushalayim, sum la'avele tzion pe'er tacha sefer. The pasuk says that for those who meshes of mourning with pe'er, with beauty. Ayin Shom Kol Zeh Heitev. Look over there on Likutei Moran, where you'll see this all explained very, very well and elaborated. Because again, Rabbi Nachman explains there that the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash is an example of the Moirei Esh squashing the Moirei Oyer. The fire extinguished the light. And the concept of mourning over the Churban Beis Hamikdash, when a person is mourning, they cry. Rabbi Nachman explains, the Gemara says, that when a person cries, part of their vision exits in the tears. The vision becomes blurred through crying. So crying is also an act of Ma'orei Eish, of weakening the vision, the Ma'orei Or, the light of the eyes, by the crying, by the salty tears. And that's the tikkun, in a sense, for the Churban Beis Hamikdash. The Churban Beis Hamikdash was the concept where fire overtook the light. When a Jew cries, and the reason there was by a Jew activating this fire of Kedusha, crying is a form of Mo'ere Yaish, a holy form of Mo'ere Yaish. And that's the tikkun. Through that, the person, the Gemara says, Zoyche v'roye b'simchos simchosa. The person will be zoyche to see the joy of Yerushalayim, the joy of the rebuilding of the Beis Mikdash, meaning he'll be zoyche to see the Mo'ere Oyer restored. And in fact, those that remember, there's a Gemara in the beginning of Baba Basra, where the Gemara says, the Gemara tells the story of how King Hurdus, how Herod ascended to the throne. He heard a heavenly voice at the time. He was a servant at the time, a non-Jewish servant, an Eved Knani. And he heard a voice from heaven that said that any servant who rebels right now will succeed. So sure enough, this was during the reign of the Chashmonoim at the time. The Chashmonoim were the kings of the Jewish people at the time, even though they weren't from the family of King David. That's why their kingdom couldn't be a permanent one. So the Gemara says over there that Hurdus rebelled and he killed his masters and everything, and then there was one Jewish girl left. He wanted to marry her and she threw herself off a roof, old story. And the Gemara goes on to say that Hurdus investigated Yiddishkeit and he saw that there's a pasuk in the Torah that says, Mikerev achecho tosim alecha melech, that the Jews are only allowed to appoint a king, a Jewish king, you know, a king who's got to come from a lineage of Jews. So he said, this is a problem. Because again, if the Jews, want to make a case against me, you know, it'll be a problem. They'll rebel. So he said, obviously, I've got to get rid of the rabbis. They present the greatest threat to me because they're the authorities on Torah. So the Gemara says he went ahead and murdered all the Jewish rabbis at the time, except one. There was one rabbi, Rabbi Bava ben Buta, whom he kept alive, but him he blinded. So the Gemara says that one day later, this King Hurdus decided to test this rabbi, Rabbi Bava ben Buta, to see if he was loyal to the king or disloyal to the king. So he came to him, he presented himself as if he was just another guy, and he started making comments against the king. He said, what do you think of this King Herod, this lousy... So the Gemara says, Rabbi Bava ben Buta, who was blind, he said, stop. There's a pasuk in the Torah that says we're required to have respect for the king. So he said, yeah, but he does sins. He said, stop. There's a pasuk that says, even if he does sin, that he had made a terrible mistake. He saw that the rabbis respect the king. You know, that based on Torah law, we are obligated to have respect for the king. So Hurdus revealed to Bava ben Buta who he was. He said to him, guess what? I'm the king. And he said to this rabbi, Bava ben Buta, I'm the one who killed all the rabbis. Is there any way that I could correct this? So Rabbi Bava ben Buta said to him, yes, you should know that the rabbis are called Einei Ho'eda, the eyes of the Jewish people. That's what they're referred to. You're the one who extinguished the light of the light of the eyes of the Jewish people. If you want to do tshuva, let's see you restore the light of the eyes of the Jewish people. What do I mean? The Beis HaMikdash is called Machmad Einechem. This is what he said to this king. The Beis HaMikdash is called the choicest item that for the Jews to look at. If you do a restoration of the Beis HaMikdash, which is in ruins now, it's deteriorated tremendously, that'll be your tikkun and your tshuva for having murdered all of these rabbis. So the Gemara says, any person who did not see the building that Hurdus built has not seen anything beautiful in their life. The Gemara describes how he put green marble on the walls, making it look like the ocean. You know, he did an unbelievable job of beautifying the physical appearance of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, this story also is obviously very much related to what we're learning now. You see what the Beis HaMikdash is referred to, what the tzaddikim are called Einei Ho'eda. They are the Mo'orei Oyer. And Rabbi Nachman explains in that chapter in the Likutei Moran that when a great tzaddik passes away, kaviyochel, it's like the light of Hashem, the name of Hashem, has become darkened. And very often, what happens immediately afterwards is that there are mefursamim shel sheker, there are false leaders, false prophets, people who use shemoi satuma, false Kabbalists, like that take over and try to rise up, because when the Mo'ere Or goes down, the Mo'ere Yesh rises up, you know, to challenge it. A side note that I was zeicha to hear from my father-in-law again, Rabbi Rosenfeld Zal, about this rabbi, Rabbi Bava ben Buta, the Arizal tells us in his Sforim that Shimshon HaGibor, we know that Shimshon HaGibor sin, the Navi says that he committed a sin with his eyes. He looked where he wasn't supposed to in a sense. He looked into the, you know, at a non-Jewish woman. And as a result, his penalty was that he was blinded. The Pelishtim blinded him. The Arizal says that you should know that Shimshon HaGibor came back beGilgul many times, and in each one of the Gilgulim, we find a similar situation where he's born able to see, and he's blinded during his lifetime. And the Arizal says, this rabbi, Rabbi Bava ben Buta, was a Gilgul of Shimshon HaGibor. We have another rabbi, hundreds of years later, Rav Sheshes, whom the Gemara discusses many times, and the Gemara at the end of Brachas tells us that Rav Sheshes was blind, and Rav Sheshes became blind during his lifetime. The Arizal says, I'll show you something interesting, Bava, Beis Aleph, in Atbash, is Sheshes. Knows there's a special code that's used in the Gemara and Sifrei Kabbalah where you exchange an Aleph for a Tav. The first letter of the Aleph Beis with the last letter of the Aleph Beis. The second letter from the beginning with the second letter from the end. So that Aleph becomes Tav, Beis becomes Shin, Gimel becomes Resh, and so on and so forth. So that Beis Aleph is Shin Shin Tav. So that these two rabbis, Bava ben Buta and Rav Sheshes, are actually, again, the same neshama. This was the neshama of Shimshon HaGibor coming back again and again to effect a tikkun for this concept of the eyes, looking where one wasn't supposed to. Another example is Rabbi Masya ben Chorosh, who appears in the Gemara also. The Gemara tells a story that the Yitzhahara once tried to test this Rabbi Masya ben Chorosh and came to him in the form of an extraordinary beautiful woman. And she stood in front of him. So the Gemara says he looked to the side. He looked to his left, she was standing right there. So he looked to the right. Everywhere he turned, she was standing right there. So the Gemara says this rabbi said to one of his students, bring me a hot poker from the fire. He grabbed the hot poker and he stuck it into both of his eyes. And he said, ha ha, end of problem, Yetzirah. I just solved the problem. Now there's no more test of looking where I'm not supposed to anymore. So the Gemara says that when he did this, there was an explosion in Shamayim. And Hashem summoned the Yetzirah immediately and said, who's responsible for this? And the Yetzirah had to say, I did it. Hashem said, either you go back and get his vision back to him, or else. So the Gemara says, this Malach came to Rabbi Masya ben Chorosh and said, I've been sent by Hashem to restore your vision. But, please, if I don't give you back your eyes, Rabbi Masya ben Chorosh said, okay, then let's make a deal. I accept my vision back on one condition, that you commit yourself, that I will never, ever again be tested with this type of test. I will never be tested with women again. And the Gemara says that the Yetzirah had to commit himself, that this test was over for life. And this again, this Rabbi Masya ben Chorosh, the Arizal says, was one of the Gilgulim of Shimshon HaGibor. This is something we threw in. This is all related to this chapter in Likutei Moran about the Mo'irei Oyer versus the Mo'irei Eish. Rav Nosson Zal says, paragraph Beis, V'haklal ki Shabbos hu bechinas hatzadik ho'emes. We know that Shabbos symbolizes the true tzaddik, shehu bechinas shem Hashem, bechinas mo'irei oyer, bechinas pe'er hadoyros, bechinas klolius hagavnin, tlas gavnin deinu basayin, bechinas yisoid haposhut, tzaddik yisoid olam, shemim. Let's pause over here. Number one, Shabbos is the tzaddik. In the Zohar HaKadosh, it says that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was once sitting, he had an inner circle, his closest students, there were six of them. So the Gemara says, the Zohar HaKadosh says that at one point one of his students spoke up and said to him, Rabbi Shimon, you antu Shabbos the Kula Yoimi. You are the Shabbos and we are the 6 days of the week. Just like the Shefa for the 6 days of the week comes from Shabbos, all of our Shefa, all of our spiritual Shefa and all of our physical Shefa comes from you. The tzaddik is the source, the mashpia, for all of Klal Yisrael. So that again, the tzaddik compared to Klal Yisrael is like the Shabbos and the 6 days of the week. So we know that the tzaddik is Shabbos. And Shabbos is the name of Hashem. And Shabbos is... And this, in fact, was the nickname that Rabbi Nachman gave to Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Berditchev. He referred to him as the Pe'er Hador, the beauty of our generation. Bechinas Klolius Hagavnin. He is a composite of all the beautiful colors. Just as the eye, the Zohar HaKadosh says, the eye is made up of Tlas Gavnin De'ena Ubasayin, the colored ring of the three colored rings of the eye and the pupil of the eye, which correspond to the four letters of Hashem's name, Yud, Ke, Vav, Ke. Bechinas Yisoid HaPoshut. The tzaddik is called the foundation of all foundations. Meaning, when we talk about the four basic elements of creation, Eish, Ruach, Mayim, and Ofor, which correspond to the four letters of Hashem's name, Yud, He, Vav, and then Ke, the tzaddik is called the Yisoid HaYisoidos, like he's the foundation of all foundations, because there's a pasuk in Novi which says the tzaddik Yisoid Olam. The tzaddik is the Yisoid, the foundation of the world. Shemimenu nimshochim kol hadalad Yisoidos, whereby all dalad Yisoidos Eish Ruach Mayim Ofor all come from the tzaddik. Bechinas Dalet Moichin, and this also corresponds to the four aspects of Seichel. We know that when Hashem instructed Bezalel to build the Mishkan, it says over there, Vayimale Oisoi, Hashem filled him Bechochma, Betvuna, Bedas, Ubechol Melocha. It mentions four categories of Seichel there, which are referred to in Sifrei Kabbalah as the Dalid Moichin, the four Moichin. There are times that we discussed Gimel Moichin, which are called Chochma Bina and Das, or Keser Chochma and Bina, and there are some times when they're referred to as Dalid Moichin, the four Moichin, which just as on the Tfilin, you have the Shin, on the Tfilin Shel Rosh, on the bias, on the outside part, you have a shin that has three heads to it, and you have a shin that has four heads to it. And this corresponds to these Gimel Moichin and Dalet Moichin. If I recall, it's referred to over there in the Pasuk as Chochma, Tevuna, Das, and the other one is Kol Malacha, which on one hand, in an obvious way, it doesn't seem to me, it doesn't translate to mean wisdom or knowledge, but yet that term in the Pasuk corresponds to this fourth Moyach. Bechinas Hachein v'hape'er v'hahidur v'hayoifi shel kol hoylam. The tzaddik is the charm and the beauty of the entire world. Bechinas Horoish v'hamoichin hameirin lebeis hamikdash. He is the seichel, he is the brain, the light, which feeds the Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash receives its light from the tzaddikin. Just as we know that one of the most important items, one of the most important rooms in the Beis Hamikdash was the Lishkas Hagozes, where the highest rabbinical authority sat, the Sanhedrin Agdola sat in the Beis Hamikdash. And it's those tzaddikim who are called the Einei Hoeda, the eyes of Klal Yisrael, they are the ones, they are the source of the light of the Beis Hamikdash. Hainu bechinas oyer hoenayim. They represent the light of the eyes. Ki habeis hamikdash shabbos heim bechinas ho'oyer hameir lohenayim. And the tzaddik and the shabbos are the vision, which or the light which is shined into the eyes. ki hu haroish bayis, dahainu haroish v'hamoichin, because the tzaddik is called the roish bayis, the leader of the world. Rabbi Nazar brings quotes in that chapter over there from the Tikkuni Zohar. The Tikkuni Zohar says that the word bereshis is made up of two words, rosh, bayis. And that's the nickname that's given to the tzaddik, the leading tzaddik in the world, is called the Rosh Bayis. He's called the master of the house. Because he's the one who is, Hashem holds him responsible for everything that's going on in the house, meaning in the world. He is the light that shines into the Beis HaMikdash and shines into all the Jewish homes. V'alkein, al yedei hatzadik v'shabbos niftochin hoeinayim v'zoichin listakel al atzmoi b'chol hamidos eichu eiches bohem. And therefore, Rabbi Nachman explains over there in Likut Imran that one of the most important reasons for coming close to the tzaddik is that the tzaddik gives a person the vision, the ability to see into himself, to see where he's really at, where he's really holding in all the midos and taivos and everything, and to be able to have an honest, objective look at myself so that I can correct myself, so that I can understand what's right and wrong in me, and I can be able to do tshuva. That's the tzaddik, and that's Shabbos. Shabbos also gives, the light of Shabbos gives a person the ability to see themselves better. Because we know that all aspects of human character are based on the four basic elements inside of the person. Eish, Ruach. In other words, all of us are composed of Eish, Ruach, Mayim, and Ofor. Depending on how you get a person who's hot-headed, it means there's an imbalance. There's too much Eish, too little Mayim. You get a person who's depressed, a person who's a cold-blooded, you know, that concept, that means that the Yesoid Ho'esh is too weak, there's too little fire, etc., etc. So that all aspects of the character of a person are based on the balance, the physical and spiritual balance inside the person of these Dalad Yesoidos. And we know that these Dalad Yesoidos all draw their light from the Yesoid HaPoshut, from the Yisoid, which is called the Tzaddik, who is called Tzaddik Yisoid Olam, Shehu Bechinas HaTzaddik, Bechinas Shabbos, Bechinas Shem Hashem, Bechinas Pe'er, Kanal. Ayin Shom Kol Zeh Heitev. Rav Nosson Zal says, check out that chapter on Likut Imran, chapter 67, and actually it's also chapter 66, I believe. Hold on one second. Because the neighboring chapter to 67 is where Rabbi Nachman discusses this point of coming to the tzaddik and being, and one of the most important things that the tzaddik is a person is the ability to see himself honestly, see himself clearly, see his dalad yesoidos, see where I'm holding in a character analysis, and be able to improve and correct whatever I need to correct.
Paragraph Gimel. Ki ikar ha'odom nivro b'shvil lahakir shmo yisborach. The main reason why man was created was to come to recognize the name of Hashem, to recognize it and to respect it, to become aware of it and respect the name of Hashem. Shebishvil ze nivro kol habriya kulo meroish ve'atzoif. That's actually the purpose of the entire creation from beginning to end. As the Pasuk says, when the Jews were going out of Mitzrayim, Leman Saper Shemoi Bechol Horetz, in order that Hashem's Kol Ma Shebora Kodesh Baruch Hu Boilamoi Loibroi Elo Lichvoidoi, everything Hashem created in His world, He created only for His honor, for His respect. Kemoi Shekosov, as the Pasuk says, Kol Hanikra Bishmi VeLichvoidi Berosiv Yitzartiv Afasisiv. For everything to be acknowledged and recognized that it's in my name and in my honor, I created it, and I created it. These words, Barosiv, Yitzartiv, Avasisiv, kavod with the name of Hashem. And these three words here are very important because they come up throughout the Torah, throughout our tefillos, and it's very important ki shem v'kavod heim b'chino achas, because a name and respect or honor are the same item. Ki ikra hakavod hu Hashem, because the main honor and respect of a person or a family is their name. Notice the name, we use the term name to mean their reputation. Sheyesh loy shem godol ba'olam, whereby a person has a great name in the world. Sheze ikar hakovoy, that's the main respect. Ukamay shekosov, as the pasuk says, ani Hashem hu shemi uchevoydi la'acher lo yetein. I am Hashem, that is my name, and my honor, my name and my honor go together. Ki Hashem hu hakovoid kanal, because these two are synonymous. Nimtzo shekol hadvorim sheboilam kulam nivru b'shvil kvoid shemo yisborach. So therefore, everything in the entire world was created for Hashem's honor, for Hashem's name. V'ze hashoyresh v'hatachlis shel abriya. That is the foundation and the ultimate purpose of creation. The purpose is Hashem's respect. Respect for Hashem and glorifying Hashem's name. V'alkein bevadai yesh b'chol dover v'dover sheboilom b'chinas yediyas v'hakoras shmo yisborach. Therefore, since that was the ultimate purpose for the entire creation, it's also what is found in each and every detail of the creation. Within each and every single item in creation is found something whereby one can recognize and realize Hashem from that item. Sheyicholin lahavchin ulehizboinen gedula saboy reisborach aide kol dover vedover sheboilam biprotius, whereby Hashem has created the world in such a way that if a person wants, they have the ability to recognize and understand the greatness of Hashem through each and every single item in creation, whether it be a leaf on a tree, whether it be the circular item in creation, to understand Hashem better through that item. V'zeh b'chinas habrochos shekovu rabbeisenu zechon avrocha al kol dover v'dover sheboilam b'protius. And it's for this reason that our rabbis taught us to bless Hashem over every single item in creation, whether it's items that we eat, whether it's items that we see. In certain cases, a person sees the ocean after having not seen it for a certain period of time, he makes a bracha. A person sees lightning. A person hears thunder. Ki b'chol dover sheboilam yesh hagdolas shmoi b'protius. Because within each and every single item in the world, there is found the greatness of Hashem in detail, not just the greatness of Hashem, but the ability to understand Hashem better, the ability to open a new vista of understanding of Hashem through that particular item in creation. Shehu b'chinas habrocha shemavorchim u'megadlin shmo yisborach al b'riyas dover zeh b'protius. That's the concept of the fact that we make a bracha on this item. When we say a bracha, we're acknowledging the name of Hashem, and we're glorifying the name of Hashem. Baruch ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, over this item. Ve'ikar hagdolas shmo yisborach ha'idei kol hadvorim sheboilam, and the main greatness of Hashem over all items is through all items in the world. Shebishvil ze nivru kulam, because that's actually why they were all created. They were all created so that Hashem should be given respect and honor through these items. So each and every one of these items projects Hashem's kavod. Each and every one of these items has the ability to teach us, to be a teacher to us of the greatness of Hashem. V'ikra hagdolas shmo yisborach al yidei kol advorim sheboilam shebishvil ze nivru kulam, and the main ability for Hashem to be glorified through each and every single item in creation,
which was actually the reason they were created, is Ha'ikar hu al yidei ha'adam. The main one who has the ability to do that is man, human beings. Shebishviloi nivra kol habriya kula. It's for them, it's for mankind, that the entire creation was made. Kiyadua, as is known. As the Gemara says, one of the reasons why Adam Arishan was the last item to be created was so that it should be obvious and clear to him that everything else in creation was made for him. So that he came into a creation with everything prepared, everything's all there, it's all prepared for man to utilize, through which to come to recognize Hashem and glorify Hashem through every single specific item in the Bria. Ki ein mi sheyeda v'yakir plois habria kiim ha'odom. Because there is nothing in creation that has the ability to understand and recognize the wonders of creation as much as man. Sheniten boideo lahakiru lahavchin b'chol advorim plois habria, who has been given the wisdom by Hashem to understand the wonders of creation, ulahagdil shmoyis borach ayde kol dovo biprotius, and to have the ability to glorify Hashem through each and every single specific item in creation. Ubishvil ze hevi Hashem yisborach kol advorim l'odom arishon likroi lohen shemois, and it's for this reason that the Torah tells us that Hashem took every single thing he created and brought it before Adam Arishon for Adam Arishon to name each item. V'chol asher yikro loy ha'odom nefesh chayo hu shemoi. And the Pasuk says, each and every single item in creation which Adam named, that was its life. Its life was its name. Ki Hashem shel kol dovor hu chiyusoi, kama shekosov Rabbeinazal. Because we know the name of an item is the source of life for that item. As Rabbeinazal writes in Likutei Moran, Vehevi raya mi posuk zeh. And Rabbeinazal brings proof from this posuk. The Torah says, nefesh chayo hu shemoi, that the soul of an item is its name, that's its life. And this is why, by the way, when a person becomes ill, Rachmona Litzlan, you know, desperately ill, what do? They add a name, they change a name, because the chiyus of the person is tied into the name. Ki Hashem shel kol dovor nimshach v'nishtalshel b'sharoshoi mibchinas shem Hashem. Because the name of every single item in creation is tied into, and it's an extension of, the name of Hashem. Shehu mechayes kol habriya, which is what gives life, what injects life into the entire creation. Kemo shekosov, as the pasuk says, v'ato mechaya es kulam. You, Hashem, are the one who injects life into every aspect of the creation. V'al kein ikr chiyus kol hadvorim hu Hashem sheyesh loy. And this is why the main source of life of all items in the world are their name. Because the name of every single item, a table, the fact that a table is called a shulchan, or a chair is called a kisei, all of this is tied into the name of Hashem. How? The Sifrei Kabbalah or certain great tzaddikim know these connections. But we need to know that everything, the entire creation, just on a simple level, we know that there are four basic elements of creation according to the Torah, and they are Eish, Ruach, Mayim, and Ofor, fire, air, water, and dust. And those four are directly connected to the four letters of Hashem's name, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, which are also tied into the four levels of creation, which are Doimim, inanimate objects, Soimeach, plant life, Chai, the animal kingdom, and Medaber, human beings, and so on and so forth. There are thousands of connections like this which show us how everything in the Bria is tied into the name of Hashem. Ukefi Hashem sheyesh l'chol dovor kein yecholin lahakir ulahagdil shmoyis borach al yidei zeh adover beprotius. And it's based on the name that each and every single item in creation has. That's what determines and gives us the ability to understand Hashem and to give respect to Hashem through that particular item. Ki Hashem shel kol dovor nimshach mishem Hashem kanal, because the name of every item draws from the name of Hashem. V'al kein hevi akoil elodom likroi shemois, and it's for this reason that Hashem brought everything to Odom Arishoin for him to name the items. Ki ikar hagdolas shmoyis borach al yidei kol advorim boilom hu al yidei ha'odom daiko. This was to teach us an incredible lesson that it's we, mankind, that are the ones in the entire creation who have the ability to glorify Hashem through every single item in the creation via its through his knowledge and wisdom and understanding, lahagdil shem Hashem, to glorify Hashem, to give honor and respect Hashem, al yidei kol dovor v'dovor sheboilam, through every single item in the world, shemishom shoyresh Hashem shel kol dovor kanal, because in fact it's Hashem's name that is the root of the of al yidei kol dovor sheboilam, and it's in the manner that Adam HaRishon was able to look at each item and understand Hashem's greatness through that item. That's what affected his ability to give names to name every single item in the creation. Kikol shmoisam shehu chiyusam nimshach mishom. Because the name of every single item in creation, which is its life source, its spiritual life source, comes from there. Mibchinas Shem Hashem, from the name of Hashem, Shebishvil Zeh Nivra Ukulam, which is actually the purpose for which all of them were created. Kedei Lahakir Ulahagdil Shmo Yisborach Al Yodom Al Yidei Hodom Daika. So that it's through all of these individual items in the Bria, man will have the ability to come to understand Hashem better. A tiny example. We know that the king of all the animals, the most powerful of all the animals, is the lion, undisputed. The word Aryeh is exactly bigimatria, Gevura. Now we know that Gevura is one of the attributes of Hashem. Gevura is one of the names of Hashem. The word Gevura is Bigimatria 216, and the word Aryeh is Bigimatria 216 exactly. And this is again the tiniest example. There are thousands of examples like this in Sifrei Kodesh. And obviously Rav Nosson Zal is telling us that there's nothing that's excluded from this. Every single item in the creation which has a name, its name is tied into the Shem Hashem, because that is its purpose. Its purpose is and glorify the name of Hashem. For whom? For mankind, by understanding that item, to have the ability to glorify the name of Hashem. The ability to see is called Re'iyah. Vision is Re'iyah. Re'iyah is the same letters as Aryeh, and it's the same letters as the word Yira, fear. And the Sefer Yetzirah and other Sforim HaKdoshim show the connections between all of these items, how it's all tied into the name of Hashem. Medrash Rabbah tells an incredible thing. The Medrash Rabbah on that pasuk in Bereishis, where it talks about Adam HaRishon being asked to name everything, the Medrash says that Hashem said to Adam, and now that you've given names to everything else, what should we call you? So the Medrash says that Adam HaRishon answered, I should be called Adam. Why? Because I was taken me'adama, because I was taken from the ground. And then Hashem said, and now tell me, what should I be called? And the Medrash says there that Adam HaRishon said, you should be called Elokim, I believe. Either Elokim or Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is the name that he gives there, because you are Adon, you are the master of all creation. So that again, the Medrash shows there that Adam Rishon is the one who named Hashem. What does that mean, he named Hashem? The lesson there was that to teach us that Hashem has given Adam the ability to crown Hashem, to glorify Hashem, to bring respect to Hashem. There is no one in creation that's in a position to do that as well as mankind. And in fact, this is what Rav Nosson Zal is going to open up in the next paragraph. Kabbalah bring that Adam is Bigimatria Yud Kei Vav Kei plus Chava. So that Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei Sum is the combination of the two, in a sense. And there's a chapter on Likutei Moran in the second half of Likutei Moran, chapter 82, has a phenomenal discussion explaining why Adam is Keseder. Adam is Aleph, Dalet, Mem, which is follows the sequence of the Aleph Beis. Chava is Shaloka Seder. Ches, then Vav, then Hey. The letters are out of sequence, in descending sequence. And it's a lot more. And in fact, in Likutei Halachos, there are about four or five additional places to this where Rav Nosson Zal goes into 5-10-page discussions on this concept of a name, the significance of a name. Paragraph Dalit, V'alkei nivru kol hadvorim mechusar tikun mechusar tikun. And it's for this reason that Hashem created everything in creation incomplete. Ugmar tikunam hu al yidei hodom. And it's man that has the ability and the responsibility to complete every single item in creation. Kama shekosev, as the Pasuk says, asher bora elokim la'asois. Hashem created everything, la'asois, to be made. To be made by whom? To be made by man, to be completed by man. Dehainu shashem yizborach boro kol hadvorim sheho'odom yigmor v'yasoisam. Hashem created everything for man to complete. U'kamayshon aroyim b'chush, as we see in fact with our own eyes. Sheho'odom tzorech lachroish ulezroya v'la'asois kelim u'begodim u'lesakin kol ha'macholim b'lisha v'afiyu bishul. Man is the one who has to plow the earth and plant and make instruments and make clothing and fix and prepare food by kneading dough and baking and cooking. As is written in the Medrash says that there was an apikoiris, respectful beings in the world. How dare you? The fact that the Jews circumcise their sons, are you implying that Hashem didn't finish the job? You're the ones who, you're correcting the creation. Hashem made something that was no good or incomplete. And we're the ones who are going ahead and completing it by circumcising this child? Fuya! So the Medrash says, Rabbi Akiva shot back at him, you fool. That's exactly the truth. Hashem, in his infinite humbleness and out of his love for us, has created the world, designed the world in such a way that we could be partners in creation. Of course, Hashem could have made everything complete. He didn't want to. He chose to give us the privilege of being literally partners, creating things incomplete so that we complete them. And the Medrash says there, Haturmesen Tzrichen Tikun, comes to things that need to be planted and plowed and harvested, that all of those procedures. U'kamay shekosev, as the Pasuk says, V'chol siach hasode terem yihye bo'oretz, V'chol esev hasode terem yitzmach, all of plant life did not show itself above ground, V'odom ayin lavoy desu adoma, because man was not yet there to work the ground. U'pirish Rashi Shom, and Rashi HaKodesh says over there on that Pasuk, Al pesach hakarka amdu, Hashem created the plants and everything. Everything was ready to go. The roots, the canals, everything was set. And it was all ready to come up above the ground. However, Hashem hit the pause button. Ad sheyovoy Adam, until man would come. Ve'yeda sheyesh tzorech bigshamim. And man would understand that what's missing here is rain. Ve'yispalel aleihem. And man would be mispalel, and that would push the button to start everything with all of those plants growing. They would surface above ground and start growing, and trees and everything. Kol zehu lahayrois ulahidia. All of this is to show and teach us shehakol nivra b'shvil ha'odom, that all of this was created just for us, for mankind. Kedei sheha'odom yagdil shmo yisborach ha'idei kol dovor sheboilam, so that man would give respect and honor to Hashem through every single item in creation. V'ze ikar hashlemus v'hatachlis shel kol habriya kula meirosh v'atzoif, and this is how we bring completion and wholeness to the entire creation from beginning to end. And this is the ultimate purpose. This is the purpose of every single tree. It's all there to bring honor to Hashem. And the one who's best suited to do that is us, man. V'alkein ha'koil nivra mechusar tikun. And therefore, everything was created incomplete, at she'ovoi hodam v'yashlam oisoi, until man would come ahead and complete it. Ki shleimus tikun kol hadvarim hu al yidei odom daikiru magdil shmois baruch al yidei kol dovar sheboilam shebishvil zeh nivra koil, by man coming to respect Hashem through each and every single item in creation. Shebishvil zeh nivra koil, it's for this purpose that everything was created. Ki Hashem yizborach bishvil atzmoi kaviyochol lo hoya tzorech livroi es habriya, because as far as Hashem himself, he had no personal need for the creation. Ki Hashem Yisborach yoda me'atzmoi koidom abriya kamo yashel. Kaviyochol Hashem knew about himself and understood himself and respected himself just as well before the creation than now. Rak kol habriya hoya hoysa b'shvil ha'odom. But rather, the entire creation was for the sake of man, kedei lehetiv mituvoi lizalusoi, because Hashem wanted to share of his goodness upon his partner, in a sense, upon his mate, being mankind. Kedei she'anachnu nakir v'neida shmo yizborach, to give us, man, the opportunity and the privilege of getting to know Hashem, getting to understand Hashem and respect Hashem. V'alkein kol zman shein ha'odom bo'ilom v'ein mi shiyakir shmo yizborach ha'idei dovor zeh ein lahadovor chiyus b'shleimus. And therefore, until man showed up on the scene, everything that Hashem created was not complete. V'alkein hu mechusar tikun adayin, and therefore it's considered lacking tikun, incomplete, ki kol chiyus hadovor, because the way that we bring life to an item in creation, the way that we bring it to, we elevate it to its ultimate purposes, by it being used as a tool, an instrument, by which Hashem is glorified, by which Hashem is recognized and understood better. And until man appeared on the scene, there wasn't really anybody who could come to recognize Hashem through those items. V'alkein tikun kol hadvorim nigmar al yidei hodom, and therefore the completion and the perfection of everything in creation is through man. Sheyesh loy koyach lahakiru lahagdil shmo yisborach yidei kol davar sheboilam, who has the ability to recognize Hashem and to glorify Hashem through each and every item in the world. Ukemoiken yesh loy koyach gam begashmius lesakin kol dovar veligmor tavnisa vitzurose b'shleimus. And it's for this reason also that on a physical level, it's man who has the ability to bring everything item to its shleimus. You have a tree, and the tree has a purpose unto itself, but obviously the tree is nowhere near its ultimate purpose until man comes along and chops down the tree and processes the wood and uses the wood to make incredible tools that can help people do, you know, fantastic build homes. And shezeu b'chinas kol hamalochos sheboilam. This is the whole concept of the work that people do. Kegoin lasois kelim meyetz, for example, to form instruments and tools out of wood, oy matchois or metals, oy letavois velerig begodim mitzemer upishtim, or to take wool off a sheep and weave it and sew it, make clothing out of it. Shebor Hashem Yisborach, out of the wool and linen that Hashem, wool and flax which Hashem created. Ki bevadai Hashem Yisborach, shebora hatzemer vapishtano yoetzim vamateches, bevadai bekoichoy hoyoyochoy livroi kelim gemurim ubegodim gemurim. Because obviously Hashem, who created wool and linen, could just as easily have created sweaters and jackets. It wouldn't have been any more difficult for Hashem to make the final product than it was for Hashem to make the raw wool or the flax. Ach Hashem Yisborach bora hakol mechusar tikun at sheyovo yehodom v'yigmor tikun amal yidei kama uvdois malochis, but rather Hashem intentionally created everything incomplete until man comes along and performs certain actions and forms of work. Ki ein l'shum dovor shleimus kim al yidei hodom, al yidei shu makir umagdil shmo yizborach, al yidei oisei adovor, shebishvil zeh daiko nivra adovor. Because this is to emphasize and to show us that nothing in this world is complete or perfect until man comes along and recognizes and glorifies Hashem through that item, which is actually the ultimate purpose for which it was created. Here again, an example. You have an animal, a sheep. The sheep has wool on it. The wool is shorn. The wool is processed. It's turned into a garment, a jacket. And then a man goes into a store and buys that jacket and puts it on and says, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam Malbish Arumim. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam Shechiyonu V'kimonu V'giyonu L'zman Hazeh. This is bringing glory and honor and respect to Hashem through that wool, through that linen. And again, this appears in every single item in creation. Paragraph Hey. Ve'im lo yehoyo choytei hodom, hoyo zoichel ligmor tikun kol advorim begashmiyus v'ruchniyus beli amal v'yegiyos rak al yidei tefila ve'eze uvdo kalo ma'oid. Rav Nosson Zalmeau is quoting the Arizal. The Arizal says that if Odom Arishon had not to a state of completion and perfection through tefillah and a very, very minimal physical labor, a matter of a few minutes possibly of physical work and a tefillah would have brought a complete shlemus to the entire creation. Ki b'shas habriya hoyegmar tikun kol hoylamos tluyim bodom arishon, because at the time of creation, the perfection of all the worlds, the completion and perfection of all the worlds and everything in them, was dependent on Odom Arishon, who was a composite of all the souls. Alel tfilosoi, and had he said a short tefillah, the Arizal says, on that first day of his life, which was Erev Shabbat, Yom Shishi, Hoyogoymer Tikun Kol Ha'olamos B'Shleimus Bo'isei Hayoyim, he would have brought perfection and completion to all the worlds on that sixth day, Kimavur B'Kisvei Ha'ari, as is explained in the writings of the Arizal. Ach Al Yidei Chetoi, however, unfortunately, as a result of the Chet, of eating from the Eitz Hadas, Loigomar tikun hoylamois, not only did Odom Arishon not bring all of creation to a completion, afgam pogam v'kilkel kol hoylamois, but rather he injected a defectiveness into all the worlds, ad asher nigzor b'itzavon techaleno, which resulted in the curse. With struggle you will eat, you'll have to struggle for parnasa. Bezeya sapecho toichalechem, with sweat will you earn your livelihood. Shetzrichin kamo vekamo yegiois umalochois shem lametes malochois koidim shemesaknin hadvorim sheboilam shiuruyim lehonis mehem loichlam oilo loiv shemokets behem. So that suddenly the world went into a state whereby it takes a tremendous amount of effort and work, thousands, millions of people working at all kinds of different jobs, which are based on the 39 acts of work, before items come to a state of completion and perfection to be usable in this world, meaning ready to be eaten or ready to be worn. V'gamato kol ma she'odom mekadesh atzmoy biyoser v'zoyche lifroish atzmoy min olam v'loslom kol liboy v'daitoy lahakir lahagdol shmo yisborach. And Rav Nosson Zal says, even today, even nowadays, the more that a human being tries to purify himself and to run away from the physicality of this world, from the stupidity, the nonsense, the bad things in this world, the desires, the physical desires of this world, and concentrate, focus his entire attention on giving respect to Hashem, coming to recognize and understand Hashem and respect Hashem, kemoikein zoiche lahavir meyolov oil halametes malochis v'zoiche lekabel haparnosa b'li amal v'yegia gedoyla. To the degree that a person does that, to that degree he is zoiche to remove from himself completely the obligation of work, and he is zoiche to receive his parnosa without struggle and work. U'kemoy sham razal, as the Gemara says, kol hamekabel olav oil Torah, a Jew who accepts upon himself the yoke, the obligation of Torah, ma'virin mimenu oil malchus v'oil derech eretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem removes from him the yoke of government, the yoke of the obligations to the government, and the yoke of derech eretz, of parnosa. Ki yegias haparnosa shehu b'chinas lametes malochis nimshochin mizuamas hanochosh mipegam eitz hadas. Because the struggle for parnosa, which is tied into the work, the 39 acts of work, all originates from the filth of the snake, the pegam of the eitz hadas, the snake who convinced Adam and Chava to eat from the eitz hadas, al yidei shiloi hishtadei lahagdil shmo yisbarach al yidei kol advorim, which ended up causing Adam Rishon not to glorify Hashem through everything in the world. Adarab, but just the opposite. Not only didn't he glorify Hashem and give respect to Hashem, but rather pogam ma'oid, but rather Adam Rishon injected defectiveness into the world. The kofar b'ikar, and he denied the most important. He denied Hashem. Umishom nimshachim kol alametes malochis, and that's the source. That's the cause of the 39 acts of work. Shem bechinas yegiois v'tirdas haparnosa, which symbolize the struggles that people have for a livelihood. V'alkein. So therefore, Rav Nosson Zal is saying, just as at the time of creation, what introduced work and struggle and depression into the world was eating from the Eitz Hadas, which was a denial of Hashem, a lack of respect for Hashem. Hashem said, don't eat. And we know that the way that you respect someone is by respecting their wishes. Ritzoinoi zehu kvoidoi, the Gemara says. A person's desire, that's his respect. And when you go against what someone desires, you're showing disrespect to them. So just as that's what introduced work and struggle into the world, so too today, v'yalkein kishod mekadesh atzmoi. Therefore, today, when a human being makes a decision to purify himself, to sanctify himself, umamin b'Hashem yisborach, and he believes in Hashem, he really believes in Hashem, umesim kol liboy lahoydeis l'shem Hashem al kol dover v'dover sheroya oinen mimenu, and the person focuses his attention and his heart to give praise to Hashem's name over every single item in the world that he comes in contact with, whether it's something that he sees or something that he enjoys, lahagdil shem Hashem al yidei kol dover sheboilam, to bring, give honor and respect to Hashem's name through each and every single item in the world. The person is, by doing that, the person removes from himself the filth of the snake, which is the struggle, the painful, oppressive struggle for earning a livelihood. and the person is zoiche that his ability to complete things and to bring things to a state of completion and perfection suddenly becomes easy. Umasik parnososoi v'cholet starchusoi b'li amal v'yegia. And he's zoiche to achieve his parnosa and all of his needs without great struggle. Ki ikar hatikun al idei agdola shem Hashem. Because the main tikkun is brought about by bringing respect to Hashem. Ukefima shezoichem lahagdol shem Hashem. And to the degree that a person's involved in giving respect to Hashem, kemoikein nitzol milametes malochis. To that degree, that person is saved, is removed from the obligation of the 39 acts of work, me'atzvus v'yegiyas haparnosa, and from the depression and struggle for earning a livelihood. V'zoiche lekabel parnososoi benokel, and the person is zoiche instead to receive his parnosa easily, mishem Hashem, kavyochol, directly from Hashem, from Hashem's name. Sheshom ikr habitochon al kol hitzarchus odom v'al kol ha'yishuos, which is the source of all of our faith and trust in Hashem related to all of our needs and all of our salvations. What's the source of it? The source of it is the name of Hashem. Where do we see this? As is written clearly in Tehillim. The Pasuk says, Ein HaMelech Noisha Barov Choyel, Hashem is not being helped or assisted in any way through all of our efforts, through all of our struggles. Person climbs and walks and builds and runs and races, all in his effort to earn. But he's the person isn't assisting Hashem by doing that. Sheker hasus lishlishlisashua, the horse, the gashmius effort, which is symbolized by a sword, by a horse, it's a false Yeshua. Umesayim sham, and the pasuk concludes over there. Kivoy yismach libeinu, but rather our heart rejoices with him, with Hashem. Ki v'shem kotshoi v'tochnu, because we trust in his name, we trust in the name of Hashem. B'shem kotshoi daiko, Rav Nosson Zal says, look at the wording there, b'shem kotshoi. Ki hakoil nimshach mishem Hashem, because everything comes from, the source of everything is shem Hashem. And therefore, to the degree that a person realizes that, and rather than going to the extensions of the name of Hashem, he goes direct to the source. He goes direct to Shem Hashem, and the person focuses his pursuit in life. Instead of pursuing things that are offshoots of Hashem, I'd rather pursue Hashem himself, and pursue an understanding of Hashem, and a recognition of Hashem. To the degree that a person does that, he eliminates from himself the obligation and the struggle to pursue all of these other items which are offshoots of the name of Hashem. Ties in very well with what Rabbeinu Zal writes in the second half of Likutei Moharan in the first chapter. There he discusses the concept of medicines, curing and healing. And Rabbeinu Zal says there, a person has one of two choices. A person who's ill, suffering from illness, can try to find the medication, you know, that'll heal him, which is the most difficult and chancy item in the world. Because go ahead, go find a person who has the knowledge to know which herbs and which combinations of items. And it's not just knowing the herbs, because these herbs are even affected by the seasons they grow in and the climate they're in. Because the same herb grown in a particular country has certain medicinal powers, whereby the same item grown in a different country has weaker or more stronger medicinal powers. And again, depending on the season that's being grown and how they're mixed together, the processing, there's so much depth and complexity to trying to discover and identify which ingredients, when put together in the proper measure and kept, you know, preserved and processed, will result in curing a person's particular illness. Whereas Rabbi Nachman explains over there, you forget that the Gemara says that there isn't a single blade of grass on this earth that grows without an angel striking it and instructing it to grow. So that there are angels that are leading the grasses, that are responsible over the grasses, all the plants and everything from which these medicines come from. And who's responsible for those angels? Where do those angels get their chiyus from? The answer is from the Dvar Hashem. There's a pasuk which says, "Bidvar Hashem shamayim nasu, uberuach piv kol tzvom." That it's through the Dvar Hashem that the armies of heaven, the angels, were created and received their chiyus. And Rabbeinu Zal says that, so therefore, when a Jew is mispalel, he davens to Hashem, which means he's involved in the Dvar Hashem, he's bypassing all the intermediary steps. Rather than go to the medicines, which are an extension of an extension of an extension of Hashem, we go straight to Hashem and ask Hashem directly to pass on to us the cure, the heal, you know, get it firsthand instead of third or fourth or fifth hand. And if a person has the proper emuna and bitochin and loyalty, respect for Hashem, a person can do that. And this is what we're being shown here, the ability of man to eliminate from himself the struggle, the suffering of trying to earn parnasa through the realization of the source of it, Hashem, and the devotion directly to Hashem and to giving respect to Hashem. Paragraph Vav. V'ze b'chinas Shabbos, shehu shem Hashem, shebo yasurim kol halametes malochis legamri. Shabbos, we said earlier, is the shem Hashem. And on Shabbos, all 39 acts of work are forbidden. Ki b'Shabbos, we said before that Shabbos is the name of Hashem. From many angles, the Zohar Kodesh makes the statement, Shabbos is Shmo de Kodesh Brichu. One example of it that we had given was that if you take Hashem's name Yudke Vovke, which is the most basic name, and multiply it by 27, 27 is all the letters of the Aleph Beis, the 22 regular letters, which are referred to as Zohar, and the five letters that come in duplicate form when they appear at the end of a word, Menatzbach, so it's a total of 27, Zohar Nekeva, times Yudke Vovke is 702, which is Shabbos. Shabbos is Shmo D'Kodesh Baruch Hu. And there are many other reasons why Shabbos is called Shem Hashem. That's why you don't say good. Ki b'Shabbos osur lo'irer uvdin d'choil. Because on Shabbos, a person is not allowed to activate the weekdays, the weekday work. Ki Shabbos hu Shem Hashem, she'oz hu tachlis ma'aseh shamayim v'oretz. Shabbos is the objective, the goal of the entire creation of heaven and earth. Hainu she'oz b'Shabbos oilin kol hadvorim el tachlison shu Shem Hashem kanal. This is because of the fact that on Shabbos, everything achieves its perfection, its completion. And note, he uses the word, it's oile el tachlison. The Arizal uses a terminology that as a result of Adam and Chava eating from Eitz Hadas, everything in creation took a fall. The worlds took a fall. And on Shabbos, everything gets bumped up a level, and thereby, zeichin ledas shor sheboilam. Because it's through the holiness of Shabbos, which is synonymous with the name of Hashem, through that, a person is zoicha to Shleimus Hadas. What is Shleimus Hadas? Shleimus Hadas is the ability to understand the greatness of Hashem and see the greatness of Hashem in every single item in creation. In a chair, in a bird, in a person, in a tree, in every single item of creation, to see Hashem in there, to see the goodness in that, the Hashem in that. V'zeh b'chinas, and this is what's meant by the pasuk, L'chu chazu mifalois Hashem, go and see the wonders of Hashem, asher som shamois ba'oretz, that Hashem has made, shmomo means devastation in the world. V'om razal, and the Gemara says, al tikri shamois elo shemois, that this pasuk has more than one meaning. It has a meaning with the word shamois, and it has a meaning with the word shemois. Shemois means names. Come and see the wonders of Hashem, that Hashem has placed names in the world. Ve'isa b'likute tanina, and it is found in the second half of Likutei Moran, B'Simen Lamed Tes, chapter 39, Al Posuk Zeh, explaining this Posuk, She'Shemois Hu Roshei Tevois Tachlis Maasei Shomayim Voretz, that this word Shemois, Shin Mem Vov Tov, makes up the first letters of the words Tachlis Maasei Shomayim Voretz. The objective, the purpose of the creation of heaven and earth was Shemos, names. Shehu Bechinas Shabbos. This is the concept of Shabbos, Shehu Atachlis Shel Kol HaBriya Kula, which was the grand finale and the goal and the purpose and the objective of the entire creation. Ayin Shom, look over there in chapter 39 in the second half of Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal discusses that. But Rabbeinu Zal is going to weave this now into our discussion. Ki shem shel kol davar hu chiyusoi v'tachlisoi shal yodo yecholim lahakir shmo yisborach. Because the name of every item, a table is called a shulchan. That word shulchan is the source of chiyus of that item. That's how it connects to Hashem through its name. Lahavdil, in computers. You know, you have a file. The file has in it billions of units of information. If you don't know the file name, it's in your computer, it's on your and you have no connection to it. The minute you remember, I don't know the name. You don't know the name, we can't do anything with all of that information. All you need to know is the name. You have the name, you can access all the billions of pieces of information that are under that file name, that data set, that's, you know, whatever it is. Lahavdil, we're in a room, and I'm asking for something, and there are 15 people in the room. If I just ask for the item, the odds are that I'll get nothing. But if I say, Ruvain, can I have this? I mention a name, the name gives me access to everything that's included in that person, everything he has. Baruch Nisa B'Gashmias, via the name I have access to it. So the name is the chiyus of every item. And the name is also the tachlis. In the name is included the purpose for that item, for which it was created, through which I have the ability to get to understand Hashem through that item. Shemishom nishtal sheel zeh Hashem sheyeshloi. And it's from the name of Hashem that all the different names of everything in this world are offshoots and extensions of the name of Hashem. Interestingly, the Arizal gives several examples of names in the Gemara, names of rabbis in the Gemara, where their names are actually forms of the name of Hashem. Rabbi Yossi. All of you have come across that name in Gemara, right? Mm-hmm. Yossi, Yudvav Samach Yud, is Bigimatria Elokim. Exactly. Rava, famous name, right? Rava is a combination of Yud Kei Vav Kei Elokim and Yud Kei Vav Kei Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. The Arizal shows how in the names of the tzaddikim, the names of the rabbis in the Gemara, they're all tied into names of Hashem, they're all tied into psukim. Abaye was an orphan. There's a posuk, Asher Becho Yerucham Yosoim. And the first letters of that posuk, Asher Becho Yerucham Yosoim, spell the word Abaye. Rebbe Akiva, the famous Rebbe Akiva. There's a posuk, Oyer Zorua Latzadik Ule Yishre Lev Simcha. The last letters of Oyer Zorua Latzadik spell Rebbe, Reish Akiva. Exactly. So I'm saying there we see more apparent examples of this, that the names of people are tied into the name of Hashem. They're tied into the written Torah, which is called Kula Shmoisov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zeh zoichin al yedei Shabbos, shehu shmo d'kodesh Baruch Hu, shoresh shel kol hashemoy shel kol advarim shebo'olam. And this a Jew can be zoiche to through Shabbos. By keeping the mitzvahs of Shabbos, a person plugs into the name of Hashem itself, Shabbos, which is the name of Hashem, which is the source and the foundation of all the names of everything else in creation. Shehem chiyusam, which is their life source, shehu atachlis shel kol maasei shamayim voretz, ki ikar atachlis shel kol dovor hu lahakir shmo yisborach al yedei oisei dovor kefi Hashem sheyesh loy kanal. Because the main purpose of every single item in the world is to be able to come to recognize and understand and respect Hashem through that item. A chair, by sitting on the chair and learning Torah, doing a mitzvah, no, serving Hashem, that chair is fulfilling its the purpose for which it was created. And again, that purpose is found in the word kisei. The word hakisei, the Arizal says, is bigimatria elikim, exactly. I'm just giving you minor examples of how everything is tied into Shem Hashem. Now he's going to clarify this. Hashem created the entire creation in 6 days, v'shovas b'shabbos, and he rested on Shabbos. V'daika al yedei ha-menucha v'hashvisa shel Shabbos, hu ikar shlemus v'chiyus v'kiyum kol habriya kiyodua. And it's Hashem's act of resting on Shabbos, that's what completed the entire creation. That's the source of life of the entire creation. And that is actually what maintains the entire creation. That final grand finale that Hashem did, that final act of creation of resting on Shabbos. Kemoi Shekosov, as it says in the Chumash, Vayechal Elokim Bayoim Hashvi es Kol Malachtoi. On the seventh day, Hashem completed all of his work. What work did he complete on the seventh day? I thought he didn't work on the seventh day. V'dorsh Razal, and the Gemara asks, the Gemara says, Ma hoyo ha'olam choser? Hold on a second. What was lacking? After all 6 days, was there anything missing? The answer is yes. So I'm saying there we see more apparent examples of this, that the names of people are tied into the name of Hashem. They're tied into the written Torah, which is called Kula Shmoisov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zeh zoichin al yedei Shabbos, shehu shmo deKodesh Baruch Hu, shoresh shel kol Hashemoy shel kol advarim shebo'ilim. And this a Jew can be zoichet to through Shabbos. By keeping the mitzvahs of Shabbos, a person plugs into the name of Hashem itself, Shabbos, which is the name of Hashem, which is the source and the foundation of all the names of everything else in creation. Shehem Chiyusam, which is their life source, Shehu HaTachlis Shel Kol Maasei Shemayim Voretz, Ki Iker HaTachlis Shel Kol Dovor, Hu Lahakir Shmo Yisborach Al Yidei Oisei Dovor, because the main purpose of every single item in the world is to be able to come to recognize and understand and respect Hashem through that item. A chair, by sitting on the chair and learning Torah, doing a mitzvah, no, serving Hashem, that chair is fulfilling its the purpose for which it was created. And again, that purpose is found in the word kisei. The word hakisei, the Arizal says, is bigimatria elokim, exactly. I'm just giving you minor examples of how everything is tied into Shem Hashem. Shezeh zoichan al yedei Shabbos shehu shmo deKodesh Baruch Hu. Now he's going to clarify this. Ki Hashem Yisborach bores kol habriya b'sheishes yemei ha'maisa. Hashem created the entire creation in 6 days, v'shovas b'shabbos, and he rested on Shabbos. V'daika al yedei ha-menucha v'hashvisa shel Shabbos, hu ikar shlemus v'chiyus v'kiyum kol habriya kiyodua. And it's Hashem's act of resting on Shabbos, that's what completed the entire creation. That's the source of life of the entire creation. And that is actually what maintains the entire creation. That final grand finale that Hashem did, that final act of creation of resting on Shabbos. Kemoi Shekosov, as it says in the Chumash, Vayechal Elokim Bayoim Hashvi es Kol Malachtoi. On the seventh day, Hashem completed all of his work. What work did he complete on the seventh day? I thought he didn't work on the seventh day. V'dorsh razal, and the Gemara asks, the Gemara says, Ma hoyo ha'olam chaser? Hold on a second. What was lacking? After all 6 days, was there anything missing? The answer is yes.